All right, we're going to get into the message, and that message is found in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 1. Are you all there?
Amen.
It says this, and I like it when I really, really appreciate it when God doesn't pull any punches, when He just comes straight out and tells you the way it is. When He comes straight out and commands you. Because I'm pretty good at taking orders. I'm a husband, so I'm very good at taking orders. Amen? Amen. It's all training. But the truth of the matter is that even when I was young, you know, when I'm playing football, you had the coach telling you what to do. And you're on baseball, you had the manager telling you what to do. And whatever sport, you had them telling you what to do. You go to work, you have your bosses telling you what to do. The truth of the matter is, this all started from the scriptures, from God telling us what to do. And what happens is the devil, who is real, don't ever think he's not, he's been trying to fool us and deceive us in thinking we don't really have to listen to God. Oh, you have to listen to your boss or you get fired. You have to listen to your spouse or you have a lousy marriage. You have to listen to the government or you know, they get spied on. You have to listen. Thank you for that. It was a good joke. Thank you for that little humor. Yeah, you know, you have to listen to, or things happen, right? But when we apply it to God, all of a sudden, it's okay. It doesn't make sense, does it, Brother Chris?
No.
It doesn't. Well, the first verse, it says, children, let's listen to all of this, all of us. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And he says here, and this is the message, he says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with thee, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You see, right here, God gives a promise to the people, to all of us who will listen. He said, honor your fathers and your mothers. We just had Mother's Day, amen? And, you know, as someone who has children and are all grown and raised and watch your children go in sports and your son scores the first touchdown, you know, the first thing he does is, you know, if he's on the camera, he thanks Mom or hi Mom. Dad's not mentioned too much. It's always Mom this and Mom that. And praise God, because I really, really love my mom. My mom is absolutely phenomenal. I don't know what I'll do without her. Pray for her. She's not doing well at all. So please pray for her mom. But fathers kind of get the back seat sometimes, don't they, Rich?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. I know. They kind of, it's just Dad. Don't worry about it. But God here tells us, honor your father and your mother. And he tells you, it's the first commandment with a promise. God has given you a promise. He promised you. And he said that it may be well with you. How many people want it to be well with them?
Amen.
So only half of you? How many people want it to be well with them?
Amen.
How many people want to be blessed, honestly?
Amen.
How many people want God to get involved in your life and say, whoa, that flat tire is going to happen at the wrong time. I'm going to fix that right there. How many times people want God to get involved in your life, that God can save your life? You know how many times we probably, you know, that time you couldn't find your keys or your glasses or the dog did something he shouldn't have done at the last minute and you had to clean it up and you're like running late and you're all mad because you're running late? You never know. You might have missed an accident that was going to be there for you.
Amen.
You never, ever know. But the truth of the matter is, it's the first one with a promise. And where there's a promise, please listen, where there's a promise, there's also a curse. You see, where there's a blessing, there's always a curse. And that's what we're talking about today. That's found, you don't have to turn there, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's actually the fifth commandment. It's actually the most important of the second half of the commandments. You say there was two tablets. So let's just say one tablet was, you know, the first four, and they were for God. That you should have no other gods before Him. And that you should not make thee any graven images and bow down to them. And that you should not use His name in vain, and that you should keep His day holy. Those four were for God, but the next six was for man. And the very top, above murder, above adultery, He says, honor your father and your mother. The reason it's so important, because it's the basis of society. It is the foundation of not just America, but of the world. It's the foundation of godliness. Because if you cannot, from a child, God allows us to have mothers and fathers for many, many purposes and reasons. But one of them is He allows us to have a father so that we can learn to honor Him as your children. And you know how it is when you're little, you honor your dad. Maybe it's because you're afraid of him. I don't care what it is. I think it's good, healthy to have fear of my dad. I hung around with a bad crowd. I hung around with, when I say bad, I mean they weren't bad, bad people. But they're really good guys, but they did some bad stuff. And I hung around, what are you shaking your head for? She was my neighbor. She grew up with me. She's over there shaking her head. It's true. And we got in a lot of trouble. But I remember they get a phase back in the 70s, and these guys, some of them were stealing cars. And I remember, whoa, I'm not, and I wouldn't go with them because my dad would kill me. And I thank God for that. I thank God that a father should strike fear inside someone, not because they're afraid of him, but they're afraid of, he's dad, he's the authority, he's the father figure, he's the police and the judge, and he's God all rolled up in one. Someone say amen.
Amen.
And that's what it should be in the home. It starts at a young age that children learn to obey. They learn to honor their dads. You know, in the old days, you know, I know things are different. I'm an old head. I like living in the past. I like, you know, when I grew up back in the 60s and the 70s and how it was. We can all reminisce, amen? Amen? It's just a different world we live in today. But one thing still remains the same. We all have fathers and mothers. We all have families. And we're in trouble. We're in trouble because where there is a blessing, there is also a curse. The blessings are with God. And the curse is also with God. Because if God's going to bless you and take care of you, and if God's going to provide for you, and God's going to protect you from evil happening, someone say amen.
Amen.
Well, the curse is he just doesn't have to do that. See, this world's already a curse. This world's already got enough problems in it. This world, every corner you turn to, there's something going on. Every corner you go, every street you go, every neighborhood you go, there's something happening. Every school out there you go to, oh my soul, is it unbelievable what's happening in our school districts today. Murders. Mayhem. Bomb threats. I can't get over it. That's school. That's not the gangs. That's school children. Something has seriously and drastically gone wrong in the family structure because it's not being blessed, it's being a curse. You know, I think that the reason that the world in our nation and our churches and our families are in disarray is because we do not, and we are not presently, honoring our fathers and our mothers, and all God's people said.
Amen.
See, I know many of you here today say, I am, and good, please don't stop. But for the majority of America, that's not happening. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 16, listen to this verse carefully. It says, cursed be he. Cursed be he that setteth a light by his father or his mother. Cursed be he that setteth a light by his father or his mother. I'm going to tell you what that means. That means is, cursed is the child that has a mother and father, and they make sure they manifest their sins. They make sure that the world or people know what their father and mother are doing. It says, cursed be him that puts a light upon their father and mother. Meaning, the Bible says, whatsoever doth make manifest is light. See, that's what Ham did with Noah. Noah had three sons, and Ham, if anyone ever needed a drink, if there was ever anyone that had an excuse to tie one on, it was Noah, because Noah just saw the destruction of the entire world. Everything was destroyed. So what did Noah do? He planted a vineyard. He made some wine, waited for it to ferment, probably had to drink a whole lot of it, and then he got drunk. And while he was drunk, he was fell back, and his robe was up, and things were not in the right places. And so what did his good son Ham do? He didn't start mocking and laughing his dad. Ha ha, look at that, ha ha. And he went and told his brothers. And his brothers went backwards without even looking and had a blanket and covered their father. And when Noah woke up, he knew what his son had done to him and he cursed him. He cursed him and it was a curse upon him and all his family from that moment. And it says, cursed be he that setteth a light by his father or his mother. And then it continues, the same verse says, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that setteth a light by his father or his mother. That means you never, never mock your mother or your father. You never bring to light something that your father, oh, my dad's a drunk. You don't do that. You keep it to yourself. You don't let people, you don't bring dishonor to your family or your mother or your father just because they did something wrong. Guess what? You do something wrong all the time. And you know, the shoe's always on the other foot. But when God gets involved, and God sets an order, the things in order, Miss Bird, how they're supposed to be. And the number one thing is, children, obey your fathers and your mothers. That it may be well with you. Because if you do not, God says there's a curse upon you. And that's what I see in America today, a curse upon America. The America that most of us grew up in and we knew, the schools were not like that, you know. The families, yeah, every family has troubles. Yeah, every family has problems. But it wasn't like today. And today's getting worse and worse and worse because of the curse. Because I have not seen it, my eyes have not seen it, or my ears have not heard the depth of how much people dishonor their parents anymore. He says this, and I want you to say, cursed be he that sendeth light by his father and mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Amen. Cursed be he that sendeth light by his father and mother, and all the people said, Amen. Amen. And all the people said,
Amen.
One more time, loud, and all the people said,
Amen.
See, that's what they used to do in the Old Testament. They would read the Torah, and they would make sure the people recited it, that they would know. Because this is for real. And God forbid that any of us would have a curse upon us. See, a curse is not from a voodoo witch doctor. A curse is God leaving you to your own devices. God not blessing you. God not sustaining you and helping you. It tells us that there is no honor in a mocking or whispering or backbiting or tattletaling. You know how many all of us have done it? All of us are guilty. But the Bible says don't do it. You know, respect and dignity, honor. Respect, in those words, respect. Dignity. Honor. They've been taken from us. They've been taken from us slowly and slowly. As we look in 2013 that we're in, those words have been taken from us. Where is the honor? Where is the respect? Where is the dignity anymore? Where do we see it? Where do we go? What channel can we turn on to see it? Where is it? Is it in Hollywood? Is it in the movies?
No.
Is it in our churches? Is it in our families? Is it in our homes? Because that's where it starts. If there's no honor, if there's no dignity in our homes, it will never get anywhere else. And that's the problem that God says, honor your fathers and your mothers. Proverbs 20:20 says this, whoso curses his father and his mother. Please listen. When I grew up, I mentioned this before, I grew up and we all, you know, a lot of bad guys. All bad guys, we just did a lot of bad stuff. But there was only two guys out of just say 50 that I knew that ever cursed at their parents. And when they did, it was like, I can't believe he cursed his dad. He cursed at his mom. That just, you know what I mean? It happened. But it was very rare, and if it did, everyone else was shocked. But the Bible says in Proverbs 20:20, whoso curses his father or mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. See, God is not mocked. He sees the evil and the good. He sees all things. And those that honor their parents, those that honor... I mean, it's easy. It's easy to honor someone whom honor is due. Someone say amen. It's easy if you have an outstanding dad. And I'm going to pick on one person only because I truly love him. And there's many, many in this room. But Mr. Ed, I love him. Ed and Lucy Klardeska, they have their family, whole family in that row. And the truth of the matter is I respect him so much. I wish I was a father like he was. Or is. I was. My children are all in their 30s and up. But the truth of the matter is, when I grew up, I didn't become a Christian until I was 31, and our children were all teenagers. Except for maybe Kristen. But our children were teenagers. So you just get saved, and now you have worldly teenagers, and a worldly dad, and a worldly mom, and all of a sudden now we're going to start trying to implement God into it. That was a real fight and a struggle. You're telling teenagers all of a sudden, all those years, what they're allowed to do, now you're not allowed to do it? Yeah, go ahead and try it. It's not as easy as you think. But the truth of the matter is, it's easy to honor someone who's a really great father. Amen.
Amen? Amen.
The harder part, and the more part that we need to pay attention to, is honoring a father that's not. Honoring someone just because God said honor. Mm-hmm. Honoring the father that wasn't there, or honoring the father that was drunk, or honor the father that was mean. And we all had some dealings with some of that. And I didn't have a father growing up. And the truth of the matter is I wish I did. I wish I had someone to teach me, someone to tell me, someone to take me with them, you know, and go do things together. If you have a father you've done anything with, you're blessed. Maybe like half of America doesn't even have fathers to go and do stuff with. But the Bible says that whoso curses his father or mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. That person will be blinded, meaning spiritually blind. They won't see what they're doing, they won't know what they're doing, and they're going to stumble and struggle their whole life. Matthew 15, turn with me there, please, in the New Testament, book of Matthew. What does Jesus have to say about this? I just want to let you know how important this is. Matthew chapter 15, say amen when you're there.
Amen.
Okay, look with me in verse 3, would you please? Matthew 15, verse 3. It says, "But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother," in verse 4. "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and thy mother. And he that curses father or mother," please say it out loud with me, ready? "Let him die the death." Let him die the death. Who's saying that? Jesus. I want to try to emphasize to you how serious of a matter this is. Don't take this lightly, because I believe that when this message is done, you're going to learn something today that may truly, truly start changing America. Because America gets changed one household at a time, one person at a time, one soul at a time. Someone say amen.
Amen.
And the truth of the matter is, Jesus said, God has commanded to honor your father and mother. And he says, and he that curses his father and mother, let him die the death. Wow. Hey, that's Jesus. What happened to the long-haired guy with the robe and peace, man? What happened to him? Because you don't know him. He never existed. He was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with all authority and all power. And everything listened to him. Even the sea and the wave obeyed him. Devils obeyed him. And he was the voice of God. And the voice of God is always true and righteous and holy, but yet merciful, loving, and kind. Amen?
Amen.
And the truth of the matter is, he's trying to warn us and say, even Jesus, let him die to death. And I hear this so many times, and if you're one of them, just sink it and let it sink in. Because the great thing is God's going to reveal to us, if you come to church any length of time, and I pray to God you do, your sin's going to be revealed. Not by we know it. God's going to reveal it to you. And he's going to show you inside of you what God is trying to tell you to stop doing, so that God can bless you. Because do you or do you not want to be blessed?
Amen.
You cannot be blessed when you're doing contrary to the Word of God. If God says don't do it, you say, yeah, I can do it, then don't expect God to bless you. Because God wants to bless you, so he tells us how to be blessed by doing what he tells us to do. And what he tells us to do is always good. It's always good. And what he says here is he says that you deserve to die the death. What death is that? That death was spoken of in the Old Testament, that it says that if a family has a son or a daughter, but mostly sons, we know how they are, and they get rebellious and they don't want to listen to mom and dad, and they're really bad, well, that person is supposed to go to the priests and the elders and tell them. And the elders go to the family, the child, and say, hey, knock it off, boy, what are you doing? And if they don't listen to them, then they go and they tell it to all the town and, you know, the congregation. And then everybody goes to them and says, hey, knock it off, what are you doing? And if they don't listen to them, take them out and stone them. Wow, I'm sure glad we don't do that. I'd have been dead a long time ago. I had rocks in my head, but I didn't literally want it. The truth of the matter is this was how serious of a matter, because God knew that one act of rebellion will ruin a family. God knew that one act of rebellion will ruin a life and a soul. And God cares about every single soul so much that he's willing to allow severe punishment on one, as he did his son Jesus, so that many will be warned and blessed. And I'm just letting you know that, because I thought that was very, very important. You might not have seen that. You know, fathers are leaders in the family. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Fathers are the leaders, whether you have one, don't have one, are one or aren't one. The fact still remains that God says the fathers are the leaders in the family. And that's an amen. God is the lead. God has made and ordained it that the fathers are the leaders in the church.
Amen.
God has ordained it and made it so that the fathers are the leaders of the nation. And as the fathers go, so the family goes. As the fathers go, so the church goes. As the fathers go, so goes our nation. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, right? One nation under God. He ultimately is the divine Father, the Creator. And if you can't honor your earthly father, the Bible says you will not even know how to honor your heavenly Father. To give respect and honor to someone just because they're your father. Not because they're good or bad or otherwise. Not because they're messed up or not messed up. But because God said to do it. That allows you to have some kind of character that we're lacking these days. To be able to go to someone that hasn't even been a good father and honor them and respect them. and help them. You know, you don't have to listen to what they say. You don't have to do everything they say or be what they are. But you do have to honor them. And therefore, we need to know what it means to honor someone. Amen?
Amen.
What does it actually mean to do that? Ephesians chapter 6, are you back there? Because that's our text and that's where we're going to stay. We're going to stay in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, I would like to read on a little bit longer if we could. Fathers are commanded. Fathers are commanded. Look in Ephesians chapter 6 and we'll read it. We'll look in verse 4. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." See, it's a commandment that God has given fathers to raise your children in the admonition and the nurturing of God. So that the father's job is to teach his children about the Lord. It's a father's job to keep their children and their sons knowing the Lord, following the Lord, loving the Lord. See, the problem is when our children, and just like in churches, what happens is children, they live by examples. They don't live by rules. They live by what they see as an example. That's why the Bible says, train up your child in the way he should go. A train is an engine and all the other cars are pulled along by it. It's not like you're telling them what to do, it's training them what to do. And we are commanded as fathers to train our children in the way they should go. And thank goodness it says, and when they're old, like 30, when they're old, I'm kidding, they shall not depart from it. But the truth of the matter is that's a commandment that has been given to guys, men, to train their children, because it's a powerful thing, because it'll work. So if it's a powerful thing, and if it'll work, then there's an enemy against it. There's always an enemy against it. Keep reading, if you would, please. Look in verse 5. It says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, in fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same he shall receive of the Lord. Whether he be bond or free. And ye, masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." Now look what it says in 10. "Finally, my brethren, finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." See, he's talking to fathers. He's talking to fathers here. He's telling men, because it is the men that are supposed to be the spiritual leaders in the home. Someone say amen. It is the men who are supposed to be the leaders in our governments and in our families and in our churches. And the men, as you can all see, where have they gone? I almost titled this message, because I have another message I preached a long time, is where are the men? And it says, when the wicked rise, the men are hidden. It says, when the righteous rejoice, there's great glory. But when the wicked are rejoicing, the men hide themselves. And I just want to exhort all the men, because the young men, you're going to be fathers someday. And fathers, I know you've been under attack. God knows it. You've been under attack from the very beginning. Because what has been given unto you is authority and power in your family. God gave it to you. The wife didn't give it to you. I know that's how it works today, that I am the leader as long as my wife lets me be. And it can be funny or not, it's just the truth. I'm the leader of my home as long as my wife says it's okay.
What are you looking at me for?
I don't know. You're sitting in the front. Because my wife's on this side, I can't talk to her about it. But the truth of the matter is that's how it kind of goes, you know, Charlie? I know, I'm the leader of my home. Yes, as long as my wife goes along with it, it's okay, then we'll do it. Well, the truth of the matter is you're the leader ordained by God, not by your wife. You're the leader ordained by God, not by your country. You're the leader ordained by God, not by your children. God has ordained men to be the leaders in the home, and someone better say amen.
Amen.
And that's the promise from the very beginning. From the very beginning, we've been undercut. From the very beginning, it's been under attack. From the very beginning, the axe has been laid to the root. The axe is being hit. It's being hit because there is an enemy. And that enemy does not want a powerful, strong family. It does not want a powerful, strong nation. It certainly does not want a powerful, strong church. Someone say amen.
Amen.
And the way you do that is demoralize men. Take away from them the honor that is supposed to be due to them. Men are supposed to have honor. and the children are supposed to see. When I grew up, I never called someone by their first name. It was Mr. Vitamin. Amen?
Amen.
I never called someone, "Hey, Mr. Wilson," and he never heard Dennis say, "Hey, Wilson, what's going on? What's up?" You know, I have neighbors and I love them, little children. "Hey, Mike, hey, Mike." I'm like, "Hey, guys, how you doing?" And I'm just saying to myself, when I was a child, my parents would never let me call someone by their first name. It was Mr. So-and-so, because you gave them respect even if you didn't know them. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Now it's days, even, and I've heard many of you, and if you do this, don't. You can always change. Don't call me Mr. That sounds old. No. It's a title of respect. Don't let them take away your respect.
Amen.
Call Mrs. So-and-so, and Miss So-and-so, and Mr. So-and-so. Because that's what you are. You have a title. And when you take the title away, you take the honor away. Does that make sense?
Amen.
So we have to give dignity and give honor, and our children have to see it. But this is what it said. Look in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." See, he's wily. He's smart, and he knows that if I get the fathers out of the picture, if I can just attack, take the fathers down, how can you take the father down? I'll tell you how. Make sure the whole world is against the fathers. Make sure the whole world, every single TV show that's on America today, makes the fathers look like goofs. They're all absolute idiots. They're the joke. The children run the house. The mom's the smart one, but the father's a Homer Simpson. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Where did that come from? It came from the world, because the God of this world, the devil, does not want men to be men. The devil, you think the devil wants men to start standing up and say, "Hey, that's wrong, knock it off"? You think the world today wants men in unity to be men again and stand up and say, "Pull your pants up, boy? What are you doing letting your rear end hang out with my wife? See that? Where's the men at? The dignity at? The strength that men used to hold together. You never talked that way when a man entered into the room. Now the men, and I know, we're all of us. This is all of us. I'm not preaching to anyone. I'm begging everyone, because that's what the Lord's doing. He's telling us the truth. He's saying there's blessings and there's cursings. Do you want to be blessed? Or do you want to be cursed? It starts in the home. It starts with honoring your father and your mother. And where did our children get this notion that it's okay not to honor mom and dad? Where did they get this notion? Where did it come from? That they don't have to listen to you. And God forbid, if you try to spank them, I'll call the cops. What? I'd like to hear that happen when I was a child. I'm calling the cops. Kaboom! Wake up 3 days later and say, "I think I'm not calling the cops." Amen.
Amen.
How many people had a real father, a real man around? That, you know, no, I had a stepfather, okay? And I was afraid of him. He won every single year, me and his dad alive. He beat me and his dad on North Wells. But that's okay. He was this tough Polack. Love him, respect him, and I honored him. But, you know, he wasn't my dad, and he didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to really be bothered with stuff like that. But boy, oh boy, I'll tell you right now, you get a man. Woo-hoo! Man, I'll tell you right now, I would never even think of saying no to my dad or my mom. I would never even think of it. And many millions of people were like that, ain't it? Say amen if that's what you want.
Yeah.
What about today? Is it that way today in America? Is it that way? What happened? You know, this is the verse I want you to see. Look with me in verse 12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That is what our fight is against, fathers. That's what our fight is against, men. All you young men out there have not yet become a father. That's what you're battling. You're battling the spiritual wickedness of the world. You're battling Satan himself and all his dominions, because he does not want a manly, righteous man in a home anymore. That's why you're so rare to see. And when a man stands up and starts to be a man, what happens? Oh my goodness. Rebellion, the wife flips out, the children say, "Oh, you're not this," and everyone calls you, you know, "You're bad, you're not..." Really? When did that happen? Because I know back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, maybe even in some of the 80s, it wasn't like that. And all of a sudden, something has changed, that the man had no authority and no power in the home. And if he did assert his authority, if he did, he was called a crazy man. a maniac. You know what you're doing. And where did that come from? And it's scary. I'm going to get to the real thing of it, is that the whole family structure is present here in the Scripture. We have the children, we have the fathers, we have the mothers, we have servants, we have masters. And I like where he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That is an exhortation to men, Chris. To men. To be strong. To be strong. Because it is the man that fights the spiritual battles. It is the man that is the head of the house. It is the man that goes to war. And I'm here to tell you, whether you like it or not, if you're a lady and you're thinking about going in the military, you better double, triple, quadruple think. Because no woman belongs with side by side with men fighting in foxholes.
Amen.
I thank you. About 8 people. I know a lot of you are still great. It's just true. When did this happen? Before, America would never have women fighting alongside men up on the front lines. And then all of a sudden they have these congressional hearings about why there's so much sexual morality going on. I don't know. It must be because the men are just horrible. It's because they're men, and you put young, little, cute little girls in foxholes with them. Oh, I don't know. I guess everybody's a saint. Nobody's going to touch anyone. It's just dumb. It's dumb. God forbid that I would need my sister or my mommy to come fight my battles for me. That's the problem. That's what it is. Men have been demasculized. They've been taking their masculinity away. And you can't stand up. Be strong. Finally, be strong. Finally, be strong in the Lord. In the power of His might. You see, when you have God on your side, who can be against you? You see, God, it's His design for you to be the leader of the home. And the problem is when you're not leading, someone else has to. So the wives lead. And then if the wives aren't doing a good enough job, the children lead. And you have everything kind of messed up. And so, you know, I just want to let you know that the man in the house, and the strong man in the house, has been under attack by the God of this world. They're mocked, they're made fun of, they're brought down. They're disrespected. And guess what? All this is in front of the children. And women, I want to ask you, please. I'm going to beg with you. And God is going to be on my side. Please, don't bring your husbands down in front of the children. You want to do it? Go room alone. Don't do it in front of the children. Because you're just teaching them not to honor their fathers and their mothers. And a curse will be brought upon them. You know, men are made weak these days. Men are stripped of honor and respect. They're laughed at. They're made a joke. And that's exactly what's happened today. And when a man tries to assert his authority in the home, all bad happens. Because none of us, I don't want to say none of us, but most of us are not willing to follow God's example in the home. And it's just the way it is. You know, we are commanded by God to be strong in the Lord, but the fathers have no power. The fathers have no authority anymore. They've been taken from and stripped them because they have no God, real God. Or because they have no real Lord. You see, the fathers in the home, they really, most of them, of course, I'm not talking about everybody, but you know what I mean. In America, in our churches, in our families, the fathers don't really know the Lord. So how can you be strong in the Lord? The fathers don't really know the might and the power of the Holy Spirit. So how can they be powerful in that? And that's the problem, is we're a one nation under God. We still have it on our money, and we need to get back to it. Malachi chapter 1. If you would turn there with me. It's the last book in the Old Testament, right before Matthew. I just want to show you this, because it's important. Keep your hand where we were. Malachi chapter 1. I'm sorry, no. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. God is speaking the last words in the Old Testament. These are the last words that every single Jewish person or anybody's ever known the Bible. This is the last words that was written for the New Testament. And it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Now we know that was John the Baptist, that he was sent by God to prepare the way of the Lord. And it says, look in verse 6, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers." And God says, "Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." There's a great curse upon us. There's a great plague that is upon us today because man, woman, and child have allowed men, have allowed fathers to not have the rightful honor that they so deserve. And it's God said, so give. I would like, if I could, the devil has attacked. I'm going to ask, come on up, please. Deacons, ushers, come on up. William, everybody, come on up. I want you to just hand these out. I want everyone, whoever's a father, stand up, please. And every father's getting one of these. And whatever's left, you give it to any man or any woman who's here and her husband's not, so they can read it. And I'm going to start reading out of this. This is just facts. And please listen to these facts, please. 63% of all suicides come from fatherless homes. 63%. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of all children who show behavior disorder come from a fatherless home. 85%. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from a fatherless home. 71% of all high school dropouts come from a fatherless home. That's 9 times the national average. Fathers in education, fatherless children are twice as likely to drop out of school. Children with fathers who are involved are 40% less likely to repeat a grade in school. Children with fathers who are involved are 70% less likely to drop out of school. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to get A's in school than other children. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to enjoy school and engage in extracurricular activities. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. Father in drug and alcohol abuse, researchers at Columbia University found that children living in two-parent households with poor relationships to their fathers are 68% more likely to smoke, drink, and use drugs. 70% of youth in state operational institutions come from a fatherless home, 9 times the average. Youths who have never had a father in the household experience the highest odds. In 2002, Department of Justice survey that 7,000 inmates revealed that 39% of jail inmates live in a mother-only household. Approximately 46% of jail inmates in 2002 had a previously incarcerated family member. A study of 109 juvenile offenders indicated that family structure significantly predicted delinquency. Adolescents, particularly boys, in single families were at higher risk. A study of 986 women in prison showed that more than half of them grew up without a father. It says that compared to living with both parents, living in a single parent home doubles the risk that a child will suffer physical, emotional, and educational neglect. Daughters of a single parent without a father involved are 53% more likely to marry as teenagers, 711% more likely to have children as teenagers, 164% more likely to have premarital birth, and 92% more likely to get divorced themselves. Adolescent girls raised in a two-parent home with involved fathers are significantly less likely to be sexually active than girls raised without involved fathers. 43% of U.S. children live without their father. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated with a displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 80%. 71% of pregnant teenagers lack a father. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 85% of children who exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 90% of adolescent repeat arsonists live with their mother only. 71% of high school dropouts come from a fatherless home. 75% of adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from a fatherless home. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions have no father. 85% of youths in prison grow up in a fatherless home. Fatherless boys and girls are twice as likely to drop out of school, twice as likely to end up in jail, 4 times more likely to need help for emotional, behavioral problems. I deal with people all the time, and I love people, and God loves you a million times more. He's telling us what the problem is. We're in a cursed. We're cursed. We're cursed. This nation is going down because women, please don't let the devil have you yell and berate your husbands in front of the children. Please don't mock them. Take the honor away from the fathers. Oh God, there's so many people hurting. So many people, broken homes, And their hearts are hurting even to this day. Even when they get older, it doesn't go away. They remember what their father and mothers did to them, and it hurts them. And it all because of the curse that's upon us. 42% of divorced, 38% have never married, 16% are separated, 4% are widowed, 16% live at home, a relative, none, relative, 85% among the 30.2 million fathers living with children younger than 18, percentage who lives with their biological children only. I just wanted you to get those facts in your hands. They're all documented facts. And I want you to see what God sees. I want you to know what God knows. Children, mothers, fathers, honor your fathers and mothers. If you can't honor your humanly, earthly fathers and mothers, you can't honor God. And we need God in our country. Amen?
Amen.
Honor means high estimation, highly esteemed, a testimony of esteem, an expression of respect or high estimation by words or actions, by words and actions. Don't just say, I love you. But spend some time with your parents. Call your dad up. Call your mom up. I don't care how old they are or how old you are. And ask them to forgive you. If you don't know my dad, I don't care. God says forgive. But you don't know what they did to me. I don't care. This is for you. It's to take the curse off of you. So we start one person at a time. The Bible says, the dictionary says that it's dignity, exalted rank or place, distinction, reverence, and submission are expressed as worship paid to the supreme being. Reputation, a good name, true nobleness of mind. And a curse means this, devoted to destruction. Devoted to destruction. That's what we are, and we don't even know it by not honoring our fathers and our mothers. Because we're so selfish, because we've been hurt, because of what they did, well, guess what? What happened to them is because of what happened to their parents. What happened to their parents? What happened to their parents? And the reason we're all like we are is because of what happened to Adam and Eve, our great-great-great-great-great parents. And God says it's time to be blessed as a nation. It's time to be blessed as a home. It's time to put things in their proper order. And all God's people said,
amen.
I just want to say this before I finish, that the devil has attacked and is attacking the family from the very beginning. He's taken the honor away from the fathers, and we're cursed. I just want you to know that as a nation, we're under a curse. Our families are cursed. Our future is cursed. As a nation, as a church, as families, unless we do something about it. We've got to get back and just humble ourselves. And go humble yourself before your father and mother. Not because it feels good. Not because they deserve it. But because God said to do it. If our future is cursed, how much more if we do not honor our fathers and mothers? If our future is cursed because of our earthly fathers, how much more? How much more if we don't honor our heavenly Father? How much more if we don't honor God in all things we do? Wives, I'm going to finish with this time. Would you please come up? Wives, I'm talking to you right now. I'm asking you, is this what the future you want for your family? What the statistics we just read? Is this what you want for your children? Is this what you want for your families? Please. Please. Don't let your children see you berate your husband. I don't care if he deserves it. Don't let your children see you. Because if they don't see, if they see mom dishonoring dad, then why should they listen to dad? And I'm here to tell you, it's the design of God. It's the most important thing that I can talk about today. We must protect our families. We must protect our homes. We must protect our children. As a father who's done many stupid, dumb, bad things, ignorant, rude, whatever you want to call them, things to my children, I'm so sorry and grieved. But all the way and all the time, I've loved them. And I know you do too. And I know every father in here loves their children. Everyone. And I know all he's waiting for is a child to come back and say, Dad, I'm sorry. Mom, I'm sorry. We could build again and start really bringing our families back together, getting our homes back together, amen, getting our churches back together, and getting our nation back together. Amen?
Amen?
The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, I'll finish with this, where we started. Ephesians chapter 6 and It says this in verse 13. It says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore." And stand, this is to fathers. This is not to the wives and to the women, because the women didn't go out to battle. They didn't put on the breastplate. They didn't put on more, gird their loins. This is to men. This is to men everywhere. Whether you're a father or not, it's for men. And the last exhortation is to be strong in the Lord. Stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How can you have your feet shod? That means feet protected. Protected to do what? To go and tell and preach and teach and be a man. Because that's a metaphor to teach people in the way to go. And we need men. We need men that will start and stop. Listen, men, if all you know is godly, teach it to your children. I wish someone would have taught me. If all you know is fishing, teach it to your children. Whatever it is you know, teach them. But God's asking you, teach them about God. Amen. Teach them about the Lord. It's your job. Don't let the devil take it. Don't let anyone take it. You have the authority from God. You have the anointing of God. You have the blessing of God. Read your Bibles. Stay in church. Learn and grow and be men. And be leaders, and let's take back our country again. It says, and I'll finish, keep going, it says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Taking the helmet of salvation. Men, anyone listening to me today, are you saved? Do you know your Lord and Master? Amen. All of us have a Lord. All of us have a Master. He is God. He's the commander. He's the captain, the mighty captain of the Lord's host. He is in control and He is in charge. And He's calling all men into duty. Duty in their families. Duty in our nation. Duty in our neighborhoods. Duty to get. He's calling all men to come. Will you be under the authority of Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, the God that loved you and gave His life for you? No greater love hath any man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus calls us friends. I've had friends that I fought for, Jim. I did crazy things for. And they started the fight, and I went and finished it because of them. And we all probably can say the same thing. What more? What more can I do for Jesus? For God? As she starts to play, I just want you to think about this. Are you saved? Do you have a helmet of salvation? Do you know for sure you're Lord and Savior? Do you know for sure that if you die today, you're going to heaven? And that's what it's all about. The gospel. The good news. Whosoever will believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He died on the cross for you. He took your pain, man. He took your shame, man. He took a beating like no one ever took a beating before for you. But friend, what man has ever done that for you? And it's all He's asking is for you to give Him your allegiance. Give Him your heart. And call upon Him. And ask Him to save your mortal soul. To give you life and life eternal. To forgive you as we would love our children to come to us and say, "Please forgive me, Mom and Dad." God is asking you to ask Jesus to forgive Him. Could you please stand to your feet right now? And every head bowed and every eye closed and nobody looking around. We're going to be done in a very few short minutes. It's a very important time. I'm going to ask anyone that God has spoken to today, would you please get out of your seat and come to the old-fashioned altar? Where men and women and children can pray and seek God's face and bow before the Lord. There's no religion here. There's no religions here. This is the Lord, and this is God, and this is truth. I'm asking you, please, if there's anyone in the sound of my voice, if you don't know for sure, if you can't say, "I can pick up my helmet of salvation because I know I'm saved. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. I remember that faithful day when I submitted myself to Him and He became mine." If you can't say that, I'm asking you now. Please raise your hand and I'll pray for you. I won't call you out. I won't embarrass you. but I'm sure to pray for you that God would knock on your door and show you that He loves you and wants to be your Lord and Savior and wash you from your sins and call you His own and give you life eternal. Anybody out there at the sound of my voice, if you don't know for sure you're saved or you're going to heaven when you die, but you want to know, would you please upraise your hand? Just raise it. You put it back down. There's one. There's two. I'll help. I'll pray for just three. Anyone else at all? There's four. Anyone else? You don't know for sure. You couldn't put on that helmet and say, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. There's six. Anyone else? For those of you that were brave enough to raise your hand and join the Lord's army, I'm going to ask the rest of the church to pray for these six. I'm going to ask you six to do business right now, just between you and God and Him alone. And pray. Talk to Him. Jesus says you have not because you ask not. Would you now bow before Him and pray and ask? Say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've not honored you in my life, in my actions. I know I haven't loved you and I haven't served you. I've broken your laws and your commandments and I'm guilty. I'm guilty, Lord. But I believe in you, that you love me. I believe that you're merciful. I believe you died on the cross to save my soul. I'm asking you. I'm asking you now with my whole heart. Save me, Jesus. Save my soul. Give me eternal life. Wash me clean in your blood. And call me your own. And give me your spirit to lead me and guide me that I can be the man that I need today. My family needs. My nation needs. My church needs. And Lord, I'll walk where you tell me to walk. I'll go wherever you tell me to go. And I'll thank you forever. In Jesus' name. Amen.